We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of 3Maw.
Hello and welcome into another edition of 3Maw. I am John Kurtz, joined as always by Derek Young and Cole Manbeck. We're here to talk some K-State hoops. We will be talking about K-State and the NIT. They did not make the NCAA tournament. It was kind of a rough day, in all honesty, for the Big 12 in the NCAA tournament. Not as much respect as I think some may have expected the league to garner, and K-State not in the last four out, but the Oklahoma Sooners were. So could have been worse, a little more heartbreaking in Norman than it was in Manhattan. Of course, as always, our show is brought to you by Holiday, our friends at Holiday Distillery. You can get 360 Vodka or Ben Holiday Bottled in Bond Bourbon, whichever you'd prefer. We highly recommend them both, and have heard great things about both. So you're going to be watching the tournament this week. I know we all are. I would suggest taking the day off on Thursday and Friday and loading up on some 360 Vodka and Ben Holiday Bottled in Bond Bourbon. Make sure you can properly enjoy all the action. All right, we are here. I'm Chipper. I told everybody in the Discord, and by the way, if you're not a member of the Discord, patreon.com/3maw, to join there. It was a lively place and very fun. You know, it took some of the sting off of the NIT, I suppose, when people were having a lot of fun watching the NIT selection show on the Discord. That was a fun experience for everybody. So patreon.com/3maw if you want to get signed up there. But I was being very whiny and pouty about things. Not that K-State was in the NIT, but that they accepted the NIT bid last night, because so many teams at this point have just kicked it to the curb and said, we're not going to do it. Oklahoma, for instance, one of those. Memphis, one of those, which I was like, hey, if you're going to make the NIT, we can at least get Naquan Tomlin to come to Bramlage. That would be a pretty sweet little consolation prize, but we don't get that. I'm trying to have a little better attitude about it here today, but I had half of mine to just start the podcast out by playing the Jacob Pullen clip. I will not play basketball in the NIT, but just dub over, I will not podcast about the NIT. And have that be my official statement for today. But I'm trying, Cole, to keep a better attitude about it. So you're welcome. You're welcome that I'm in a better mood than I was last night.
I'm going to have like a slight pushback on it. Like, I just did some real quick research. Only six teams that I found actually declined a bid. That would be St. John's, Indiana, Memphis, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, and Pitt. And considering the number of actually high major teams that are still playing in it, I don't think it's a lot. I think that's a hyperbole to say. Also, I'm going to criticize one of those teams a little bit. Like, I get that they're probably heartbroken. They were the first team out in a normal year where there's not as many bid stealers. They would be in Dayton. But, like, to act above the NIT when you've missed the NCAA tournament, or nobody on your team has made the NCAA tournament with that team, that's Oklahoma. They've missed it 3 years in a row. This is the fourth. You're not above the NIT if you can't even make the NCAA tournament with anybody on your roster.
Well, Porter Moser's got a flight to catch, DY. So, you know.
That's a good comeback. I just think, I just laugh at a school like Oklahoma that's barely made the NCAA tournament in recent memory, saying, now we're too good for the NIT.
Yeah, well, I mean, the rest of the list kind of makes sense, right? It's like,
yeah,
I mean, Chris Beard, I'm sure Chris Beard probably feels like he's above it. Rick Pitino, we know what the hell that's about. I mean, he definitely feels like.
Yeah, and to be fair, I think St. John's was probably screwed.
Yeah, right. And you're right. They're another bubble team that's going to be upset about it. Memphis is a program, I'm sure, feels like they're above it. Indiana is a program, I'm sure, feels like they're above it. Who else am I missing there?
Pitt.
Yeah, Pitt. I mean,
Pitt was in the play-in game last year in Dayton, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of these teams should not act above the NIT. That's all I would say.
Well, I guess to me, it's part of it is about the landscape of today's day and age. Like, you know, teams weren't doing this, obviously, 10 years ago, but now, I mean, the transfer portal opens like today. So you've got all the portal stuff going on that is going to take everybody's demand and focus. It's going to be harder, I think, to get as many guys to play in the NIT because players are going to be hitting the portal and or just moving on at the end of the year, especially if you are a team that had tournament aspirations at the beginning of the year, which, you know, is going to be most teams. It just feels to me like you're going to see this problem probably continue. I think like long term, the NIT is going to have some issues here unless they start putting some money on the line for the players or something. So I don't know. I mean, I just, you know, I know they don't care about what I think, but I'm just kind of exhausted by the season. It's, you know, it ended in really frustrating fashion, and it's not even a home game. I had convinced myself like, okay, this was the tipping point for me, Cole, and this is where maybe I should have been in the Discord when all this was going on during the selection show. The tipping point for me was that I was like, if they're going to host a home game, like I know that there's potentially some budget stuff coming up for everybody in the Big 12. Like if they're going to host a home game and take a little bit of extra money from that, all right, fine. Like I understand why the athletic department would want to do that. That's okay. But then I'm like, they're not even hosting a game. Like they're going to Iowa. That was probably the tipping point. I was just like, why are we doing this? Why is this?
Does the NIT cover travel costs, or is that actually going to cost K-State money now?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The Discord was hilarious. I don't know if you had a chance to check it out, but it was very active during the NIT selection show. It was maybe as active as it had been in a while. And I had actually thought I had some quality inside info on the NIT. So I told everybody, I was like, they're in, guys. Like before the show started, I was like, you can all relax, they're in. And then like the first three regions are announced, and then they start going to the last region. And I like put in there, I'm like, could you imagine, guys, you know, not being in this Discord and being out there sweating this, not knowing if they're going to get left out or they're going to be in. And I've already told you they're in. And then like, there's like three teams left, and I'm like, oh my God, like I'm going to look like such a jackass here. Like I'm starting to sweat my info. I'd also said that they were hosting definitively, and they weren't. I was wrong. So credibility took a little bit of a hit there when it comes to the NIT. I got to work things up. But
I wasn't going to sell you out. I kept that part of the story out. But yeah, that was a part of it. You told me that they were hosting.
You tell me that.
Like, okay, well.
Yeah, I
you're being told Wednesday. Or I complain on Wednesday.
My fault. Hey, I will say, guys, like, I saw some people saying, oh, well, maybe K-State didn't want to host because of the NCAA women and it would just be too chaotic from a scheduling standpoint. I can dispute that with facts there that Kansas State did want to and expected to host the NIT.
We just found out that you were wrong. So,
I'm very confident.
And the games would have been on different. I had enough time in between because the women are playing Friday, so the game's Tuesday. So what we have learned, hey, they could get a second round home game if UC Irvine upsets Utah.
Oh, that very well could happen. We know UC Irvine, pesky team in March.
I really want to play UC Irvine.
I mean, just all of it. Yeah, all of it. And then you're going to play Iowa. So, you know, Iowa State fans, I just can't imagine. Congratulations to them, dude. I mean, I guess we sold our soul last year for an Elite Eight and a Big 12 championship because now, I mean, they go beat Houston by 28. They did kind of get screwed with their draw a little bit and how the committee treated them with all that. But, you know, they get to go watch Iowa and K-State play each other in the NIT, man. I mean, like, that's living the dream. So, yeah, this whole thing. No Memphis. Hey, the Irvine shows up right there. It's just like anything to torture
to torture us.
It's great. Okay. Go ahead, DY, before I chime
in. We are in national champion Villanova's region. What's one? Three-time national champion, very recent.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we live in a culture today where everybody quits when things don't go their way. They enter the portal, they transfer, they're upset, they're not getting playing time. And so I actually appreciate that Kansas State accepted the NIT bid and isn't just quitting on the season because something didn't go their way. And, you know, they're not acting entitled. We didn't get in the tournament. We're too good for the NIT. It's disappointing that they didn't make the tournament, but I appreciate the fact that they're playing in it, yeah. Not just skimming in and quitting.
Along the lines of like Oklahoma and St. John's, teams that just said, oh, the hell with it. We don't want anything to do with it. Teams that had just enough reason to do the same would be like Wake Forest, Providence, Seton Hall, teams that are actually still playing in the NIT.
And I'll just say this too, and I know it was a different era. So, John, to your point, like it was before really the transfer portal, NIL and everything. But here's just a quick snippet of teams that have played in the NIT over the last 15 years. North Carolina played in it in 2010. Florida played in it in 2022 and 2023. They also played in it in 2008. They won the national championship in 2007. They played in the NIT the very following season. UConn won a national title in 2014. They played in the NIT in 2015. Baylor went to the NIT in 2018. The year prior, they were in the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament. Baylor won the NIT in 2014. Arizona played in the Elite Eight in 2011. They played in the NIT in 2012. And Kentucky played in the NIT in 2009 and 2013. So there are a long list of teams. And DY, you just mentioned Villanova, multinational champion over the last decade, that is playing in the NIT. So, you know, for the most part, most teams do accept NIT bids. It's a different era, I know, but, you know, I don't think it's like anything that, you know, to thumb your nose at necessarily.
I still feel like if you give me like the next 5 years, if there's not a major change in structure with the NIT, I would be very curious what these numbers wind up looking like. Like, I feel like we might be on the front end of this, like when wasn't Christian McCaffrey like one of the biggest or the first big like holdouts for a bowl game? Yeah. And that was like a huge deal. And then, you know, a couple years later, it was like everybody is doing it. I really wonder.
Leonard Fournette, I thought, might have been first. No.
Well, there were a couple that stood out, and you were like, oh, this is like a big deal, and everybody's talking about it. And it's, you know, people are grandstanding on both sides of the issue. And then, you know, 5 years later, it was like tons of people are doing that. So I kind of wonder if we're in that stage here with the NIT, which, you know, regardless, that does, you know, whatever. Tang and the staff, they should do whatever they feel is best. That's fine. They don't need to care about me and my feeling on it. But I just, from a fan standpoint, it's like, dude, that year has just been exhausting. And I mean, it's just been exhausting. Like, I don't, nothing against this team. Love the guys, would have loved them to make the NCAA tournament. But I don't feel like I need any more out of this season that has just been so stressful all the way around, you know, from before the season when we started hearing about the Naquan Tomlin stuff, Cole, and we were like on pins and needles about, you know, what was going on, and he's not showing up at the golf tournament thing, and like, you know, all the way through him not playing, a Quez Glover injury, like stressful overtime games against North Alabama, him getting kicked off the team, the drama with the president going on, and then you go to Ames and you have everything that happens there with Otzelberger and Tang. It's just been one thing after another the entire year, all the way to we can't get out of Kansas City without controversy at the press conferences because, you know, people are making fun of Tang's stump speech for the NCAA tournament, which I had no problem with. But then, you know, he called Damon Lipsey the biggest flopper in the Big 12, which is true and pretty funny. But you still, it was just like everything with every little thing. You're just like, can we just, I'm just kind of at the point where just let me get excited about kids in the portal. Like that's
well, you still can. You still can. This doesn't impact. This doesn't impact their recruiting.
That's going to be simultaneous. Yeah.
And DY, can you? You can't even go visit like transfers right now, right? Like, you can't like, because it wouldn't be fair to the teams in the tournament, would it? If like some of these teams not in could just go out and do all the free for all recruiting of guys in the portal and go visit their homes and.
I mean, maybe.
We need to wrap that up.
Yeah, probably. But Jerome Tang was on the was on the road recruiting the day after they lost to Texas, yeah. or the day after they lost Iowa State. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't. We'll check those rules and get some confirmation on that.
Yeah, look, I guess you might as well look good if you're going to be frustrated about the NIT. So get to homefieldapparel.com and check out their new K-State drop. New K-State drop, great shooting shirt. Probably, maybe it was a shooting shirt that was worn by Ski Jones when he put up 62 in the NIT once upon a time, you know? And maybe Tyler Perry will drop 60 on somebody. That would make it worth it, you know? And he'll wear some home field apparel after the game, homefieldapparel.com. Get there, check out the new K-State drop. They've got a ton of K-State options now. Now it's got to be like well over 50 that they have with the latest drop. They've got 100-plus other teams, and we'll even give you 15% off your first order. Use promo code 3MAW23 at checkout to get 15% off your first order at homefieldapparel.com. And we are back in just a moment.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, before we get going, we've got a new sponsor. And I get to tell you a nice story, guys. Okay, so this episode is brought to you by the spring cleaning champions, Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below the waist grooming. Clear out that winter bush with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. I like this read. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com and use code. Nick, I'm going to need your help here. It says use code for 20% off plus free shipping. Code KCSN. Okay. Code KCSN for 20% off plus free shipping. Now, I've got to tell you a little story here. The lovely people at Manscaped sent us the lawnmower. I assume it was the Lawnmower 5.0. They sent us their product, right? So Cole was supposed to tell us this but he neglected to. So the other day, I come home, and I've got this package sitting at the door. I'm like, okay, what's this? Open it up, and I'm like, Manscaped? Like, what? I was like, I've heard of this on, like, podcast ads before. I was like, I don't think I ordered it, but I do have my regular razor that I use on my face is, like, probably, like, 20 years old. It's very old. There's no reason I should still be using it, but I've just been lazy about it. And so I was like, you know, did I just forget that I was like, hey, maybe I need to go get a new razor at some point? I'm like going through in my head. And I literally went to manscaped.com, put in my email address to see if I like had an account there, and I didn't. So I was like, well, what is going on? I'm like, God, like, is my girlfriend trying to send a message here? Is that what happened? And I just am not aware of this. So then I'm like debating, like, do I say something to her about it? I'm like, I feel like that's risk reward, pretty awkward. You know, we're like 4 months in. It's like, you know, I would have done it, but I thought about it. And then I was like, you know, my mom was over the other day. My razor was laying out, and it's obviously very old. And sometimes she'll just like buy me new stuff when I, you know, be like, hey, dude, get your bleep together. This is too old and crappy. And I'm like, did she just buy the wrong kind of razor and not realize what she was getting? All these things are running through my head. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And I just kind of internalized it and hadn't told anybody about it, you know? Maybe I need to bring it up to my therapist the next time that I went, but I hadn't told anybody. I hadn't gotten brave enough to do anything. And now today, thanks to Nick sending us the sheet here and the advertisement, the mystery has been solved. Manscaped, thank you. They are very kind. They sent us one of their products. So again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code KCSN at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code KCSN at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants, boys. That's what I've always said. So I don't did you have a similar experience with this, or like how did this work for you?
Are you talking about me? Be honest, I don't believe I have gotten it yet. So I probably don't think I need it. That's what it is.
Cole, did you forget to tell yourself that this was coming? Did you ask Vanessa what was going on, or like what?
I actually had given Vanessa a heads up, so I took care of myself before, and I forgot to tell you guys. I made sure that was covered off with her, because I was going to be in Washington, D.C. on a work trip last week, and I knew that was coming, and I had forgotten to tell you guys. So I'm sorry, John, I caused you so much internal... I caused Sean so much angst internally that he's been bottling this up for over a week. And I could have just told him, like, hey, yeah, that was from, like, a new partnership we have with KCSN and Manscaped. And I feel
a little... I was going to email them and be like, hey, like, you had my address and stuff, but, like, I'm not signed up. Like, who sent this? And then I was like, I don't... They probably have... I was like, they probably have a bunch of dudes that do that where, like, the girlfriend is just like, hey, like, let me, you know... That's so basically... I want to be like another one of those guys just being like, hey, who sent this? I was like, I can't. I've got too much pride for that. So,
I think that's a thing. I mean, I remember when Manscaped appeared on Shark Tank several years ago. I watch a lot of Shark Tank episodes on ABC, and they got a deal. So,
you can't.
They're doing well.
They are getting their money's worth on this, man. And I tell you what, I appreciate Manscaped because we can have some fun with it. I don't have to worry about if my Ontario bit is going to get us into trouble with Manscaped. So appreciate you.
Manscaped. Yeah, that's what you think. We'll see what they think of this. So, yeah. Anyways.
Well, I think what they'll think of it is that you're a bad friend, is what they will think about.
I screwed up. That's my mistake.
Probably.
BJ had called me a couple weeks ago to give me a heads up, and I forgot to pass it along. So.
All right. Well, from shaving that winter bush to playing in the NIT. You know, two things everybody loves to talk about. What do we feel about the draw here? I've gotten my frustration out there. I'll let you guys take it away for a little while here.
Go ahead, Beth.
Well, before we jump, could we just really briefly like touch on the job that the committee did, like, and what you guys think of that for the NCAA tournament? Because
please tell me this is not going to be a critique of the NIT selection committee. Well, I'm not going to allow that to happen. I know you've got takes, but I'm not going to. We're not examining the NITs. I'm sorry. Cole, I will not podcast about the NIT selection committee.
Well, but I mean, I was going to try to get Tim Duncan, the NIT selection committee chair, on the show. Are you saying that's a no? You don't want him? I have to ask him some hard-hitting questions. Okay. All right. Well, I guess for the NIT part, like for people that aren't aware, the Power Six leagues, the top two ranked teams in the net get to host. It's a guarantee. The NIT selection process is kind of flawed and really kind of silly. And so I'll just let, like, for people that had questions, like, why is K-State a six seed in it? Well, because Cincinnati and UCF are higher in the net, the Big 12, the top two teams in each Power Six league, get to host. So that's part of the reason. Now, K-State still should have probably been one of the four at large.
I've got to correct you. They're not actually a six seed. Everybody is just unseen.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, you're right. And then they place them in the closest geographic bucket after that, right? So Iowa City was the closest team to Kansas State.
By the way, UCF could have went from hosting to not even in the bracket if Oklahoma didn't opt out.
Yeah. By the way, saw Johnny Dawkins at the airport, UCF head coach, when I landed back in Kansas City on Thursday, and K-State was up 9-8 on Iowa State when I walked by him. So
I'm just thinking of things randomly, but I did like Kim English's interview, and he says, "I think your analytics are bullshit." I don't know if anyone saw that when he got asked about
UCF. Yeah, I love Kim English. I really liked him back when he played at Mizzou. He was like a fun, engaging personality. Yeah,
Mizzou declined a bid too.
Yeah, they declined it by deciding to be the worst team in the Power Six this year. So, yeah.
What do you have to say about the NCAA selection committee? What do you have to say about the job that Jamie Pollard did?
Well, okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Jamie Pollard is terrible. Like, you know, like...
For everybody, Jamie Pollard, Iowa State Athletic Director, he was the Big 12 rep on the selection committee.
I'll let Cole, like, criticize maybe the Big 12 side of it, but I didn't think the Big 12 side of it was even the worst. The worst is the fact that Big East got three teams in and the Mountain West got six.
And the Big East was the number two KenPom league, right, BY?
And the St. John's, Providence, and Seton Hall were all... If St. John's was the fifth team out, and I'm guessing they were since they didn't even put them in the first four out, that means all three of those had their bid stolen because there was five bid stealers with Duquesne, UAB, New Mexico, NC State, and Oregon.
And if you're a K-State fan, you probably take a little bit of solace in the fact that you didn't see your name on the first four out, though the graphic of CBS showed up there, because it probably means that despite all those bid thieves, you weren't going to get in the tournament, even if those didn't occur. You probably would have actually been one of the first four out without those, and you would have saw your graphic up there with the Wildcats. So,
something I would say is the way that things shook out and how some of the bubble really improved over the last few days, no one really improved their seating much, but I think some improved whether they were out or in quite a bit. Like, I think Kansas State might have had to make the final.
Yeah. Well, I think I messaged you guys, was it Thursday or Friday? I had gotten a sense that the Big 12 probably wasn't getting as much love and the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee, and mentioned to you guys that either TCU or Oklahoma is probably going to end up getting left out, in my opinion. And you just kept seeing Oklahoma slide down the list. Rejection.
I think Oklahoma deserved to be out, to be honest. Like, I'm not throwing a pity party for them at all. But they beat nobody.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can get that.
Cole's point is that everybody... All the bracketologists had them as like a nine seed. You know, people thought they were safely in the field, and they slowly started to trickle down over the last.
Yeah, I'm glad they missed.
But I just think it's weird. Like, I was doing a quick little look back at like the teams, and so like if you look at what K-State did, they beat a two seed, a three seed, a four seed, a six seed, a seven, and a 15 South Dakota State in the tournament selection field. Virginia, one of the last teams in. Here's their wins. They have three wins against teams in the field. Texas A&M, a 9 seed. Florida, a 7 seed. Clemson, a 6. Virginia has two quad one wins. There's no case to be made for Virginia.
Well, I didn't like that Virginia made it, but I think I'd rather a Big East team in place of them.
Michigan State beats three teams in the field. Baylor, Illinois, both 3 seeds, and Northwestern, a 9. So, I mean, at least they have two higher tier wins. But Michigan State's getting in because of name alone and Tom Izzo. And the fact that they're a 9 seed and not one of the last four in is ridiculous. Tells you that they look at the brands of these teams. Are they really blind sheeting this and not looking at who the team is? Because there's no way Tom Izzo and Michigan State should be a 9. FAU beat two teams.
I was going to say, FAU. is FAU just getting the bum because of the Final Four last year? Like, if FAU did not have the Final Four last year, like, where are they right now?
At the very least, they shouldn't be an 8 seed.
Yeah, they're so safely in. A team that has multiple quad four losses and got beat by a Temple team. They got smoked by UAP in the American Championship game. FAU beat Texas A&M and Arizona. That's their two tournament wins.
And Texas A&M getting an 8 or a 9 or whatever with the quad three, quad four losses that they have.
Yeah, that's the thing with them. The only thing I can make a case for them getting in is they did beat Iowa State on a neutral court in the non-con, and they swept Kentucky.
That quad one stuff was impressive, but they have a lot of bad losses.
Yeah, their quad ones are more like what K-State has on the resume, but then they have multiple bad losses. So, anyways,
it's crazy because Jamie Pollard's on the freaking committee. But, I mean, Iowa State, I felt like the national consensus after the Big 12 championship game seemed to be more people than not, more of the heavy hitters than not, thought that Iowa State should be the fourth one seed. And instead, they were literally the last two seed. They were the number 8 overall seed in the bracket, which just tells me that, and I guess I can understand if the committee's logic is like, we really aren't going to factor in much what happens in the conference tournaments. I'm actually okay with that because there's so much that, I mean, the conference tournaments are, you know, Kansas is resting guy, right? Yeah,
But if you look at what happened to FAU and Dayton and Iowa State, then I can name about 10 others. They did not factor in the conference tournament hardly.
Well, that's right. That's the point that I'm making, is that they clearly didn't. And on top of that, I can understand why. I just wish they'd maybe be a little bit more clear of that, because there's weird circumstances with it. Like the conference tournaments for high majors for teams that are already in, there's just not nearly as much motivation for most places, or at least for certain teams, to not put as much into the conference tournament. You're going to get weird cases where, like, yeah, Iowa State is like a perfect storm where they're close enough, their fans love the location where the tournament's at, so they're going to have this home court advantage, which is to their credit. They fill it up and they make it better, and so they win the thing all the time. But like, the best team in the league is almost always Kansas, who it doesn't really matter to. They don't care about it. It makes more sense to be like resting guys or not putting as much into it. So you get funky results, you know? I mean, that's why it's obviously much more valuable to win the regular season league championship, which really is why it's just not super fair, I think, in a lot of ways, the way they do it for the lower conferences that have to win their conference tournament to get in. But, you know, I digress. That's a different discussion for a different day. But if you're going to not take into account, like, anything that's happening at the conference tournaments, then, I mean, just be more clear about that. I don't feel like they're ever very clear about that, because if you're taking it into account, Iowa State beat Houston by 28. I mean, 28, dude, like, that they should not have been the number 8 seed overall. And they're in, I heard a lot of the grumbling from Iowa State fans of like, they're stuck with Drake, right? They could be playing Drake, another team that is not gonna have to travel very far to Omaha there in their pod. So, and they get put in the region with UConn, you know. I mean, I think that's one of the bigger picture things that really sucks for them. They get stuck with the number 1 overall seed there. So anyway, yeah, if we're going to take out beef with the selection committee, I would add that to the list.
Yeah, and I think conference tournament's probably I get the funky results thing, but if we're going to play them, they should probably matter a little bit more than what they did. That would be my argument. Or else, why are we playing them? Then they become a little bit just a waste of time, other than giving it to the automatic qualifier. That would be my point of contention. And I've had a point of contention. I've tweeted about it a lot. I've put it on our board in multiple places. Like, I get that they're probably good teams that are NCAA tournament caliber. But Florida Atlantic and Dayton, considering what they did resume-wise, like, for them to get an at-large bid, can we at least make them win either their regular season or their tournament? They didn't win either. Like, South Florida won the American regular season, and then UAB won the tournament, right? I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. And Florida Atlantic they have like two good wins. So why do they not have to win their regular season, not have to win their conference tournament, and not have to beat anybody besides Arizona?
Yeah. I mean, the problem with these conference tournaments now is you've got a lot of teams that don't like higher tier teams. It doesn't do anything for them to really win. Like North Carolina against North Carolina State. Would they have liked to win? Sure. Do you think they played max effort against NC State. The game meant nothing to them. They were a one seed regardless, clearly. I mean, I guess there was a thought that they could drop below Iowa State. Clearly, that wasn't close to happening.
Looking back now, they could have rested their freaking teeth.
Yeah, I mean, KU risks guys in the tournament because of the conference tournament. They're banged up. So. Yeah.
Well, I think that's probably a part of it, too, is like I should kind of even correct my, hey, Iowa State beat Houston by 28 thing. At a certain point, when you're down by 15 to 20 mid-second half, like what's the yeah. – why are we gonna bust a pass to try and come back? Like, it really – it just doesn't matter that much.
And not to get conspiratorial here, but if you're the Pac-12 and you're the ACC, North Carolina's probably locked in as a 1 seed. Colorado's probably locked into the tournament, although they did get put in the first four. It's like, hey, guys, if you want to rest your dudes, we could get an extra team in if Oregon wins this. We could get an extra team in, more money for everybody if NC State wins this.
Yeah, because the way the TV contracts work, for every win you get in the NCAA tournament for your league, you get around $2 million in win share given to your league divided up. And so, you know, the more teams you have in, the more chances you have for teams to win tournament games, right, and the more you collect in the TV revenue. So it is right. Like Mississippi State, A&M advancing, beating the favorites. Like, look at the SEC. All the favorites just went down right away.
So. Yeah, no. And I know you hate the thought of this a little bit, and I only want it in a certain way. But all the stuff that we're saying right now, too, is also a reason that it probably makes sense to inflate the Tuesday and Wednesday of the NCAA tournament.
I'm okay with it, like your point. Yeah, I'm okay with it to your point that you made in our messaging, as long as it doesn't affect the true first round of Thursday, Friday in that format, and it's more of a play-in style tournament in multiple locations, because they won't be able to put them all in Dayton at that point, I assume. I'm okay with that.
To be honest, and when Mason and I were talking, but like if they do that and they need like a second or a third location, Wichita actually makes sense because it's like another Dayton-type location that typically does well in hosting NCAA tournament games, and then they're guaranteed one every year. So, but I guess for those that don't know, my logic is we just discussed it, how these conferences at this point are manipulating the conference tournaments. I think the transfer portal is also spreading the talent around to more teams. So like there's hardly any difference now between like team number 40 and team number 65. So I've always been against expanding the NCAA tournament. I still don't love the idea of it. It's going to happen anyway, but I think it would make sense to just more playing games on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now we're all set up, ready to go. Just talking about the big matchup with Iowa. And oh, would you look at the time? Guys, I got to go to work. So I shoot.
I'll take it from here on the Hawkeyes.
Okay. If you could do that, that would be great. Thank you. Kills me to do this, but I'm gonna have to duck out here.
You are gonna tune in though. Like, listen to this part of the pod. Listen back to your, you're well informed.
Yes, of course.
Okay, I want you to be well informed for the game on Tuesday night. Are we gonna do a watch along on Patreon? Could we do that?
Nah, we can maybe try. What? Oh, I only have until Tuesday night to figure that out.
Well, that's 8 o'clock Tuesday night against Iowa in Iowa City. Yeah, that's right.
God, it's I don't know. Game too. I forget how. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Oh, so late for John. So, Jared. All right.
Okay, Iowa. You know, Brian Ferentz. It's a bad offense. Yeah, of course. I know Iowa.
They're actually really good offensively. Okay. I know you're making your jokes there, John. All right. Now we can have some real fun. Now we'll wrap this up here shortly. I don't have a ton on Iowa DY other than they don't turn the ball over at all. They're fourth in the country in turnover percentage at 13% turnover rate. K-State doesn't turn teams over at a high rate defensively. They are they're 15th actually in KenPom offense, which will actually be the third best Kansas State has played this year. Baylor is sixth in KenPom offense, BYU 11th, Iowa is 15th in efficiency. So it's going to be the third most efficient offense Kansas State has faced. They are terrible defensively, 153rd in KenPom defense. If you look down the list of teams that K-State played, the Big 12 was obviously an elite defensive league, and then some of the non-con games K-State played. In terms of KenPom defense that K-State's played, Iowa State's 1, Houston's 2nd in the country, KU 10, Villanova 13, UCF 15, Cincinnati 17, Providence 18, K-State's 22nd, TCU's 31st, on down the list. A lot of high-profile defensive teams. You go all the way down that list, Iowa would fall at 153rd in the country in KenPom defense, only ahead of West Virginia.
that just tells me they're like every other Iowa team under Free McCaffrey, where they love to score and hate to defend.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't defend.
They do that every year. And you're right, those offensive numbers are incredible, but that's Iowa. Free McCaffrey's a hell of an offensive coach. Look, yep. I have a little background on just what they're about, what they typically are, how they are comprised, just because I did cover the Iowa beat for 2 years.
Yep. Well, they're not good defensively. West Virginia is the only Power 6 in case they played that's worse in Ken Palm defense.
They do pack that arena, Carver Hawkeye Arena.
You think they'll pack it, though, for that? I've watched their games this year, and it felt like it was pretty empty for a lot of their games.
Well, maybe they spent all their money for the women's games.
I mean, when I watched Iowa women's games, it was packed, it was loud, but it was like a stale environment for the men's games this year, and maybe that's just the team.
Yeah, it was pretty rowdy most nights when I covered the team. I don't know if you guys remember these guys, like Mike Cassell was the point guard. Peter Jock was a pretty good scoring guard.
Oh yeah,
Adam Woodbury was the post player. Anthony Clemens, yep.
Yeah, no, all those games ring a bell. It means I watch too much sports because I've seen all of those guys play. They are interestingly enough, DY, they're 336 in the country in 3-point rate. So, like, I always think Iowa is a team that shoots a lot of threes, but
they just lost Jordan Bohannon, so they didn't have Jordan Bohannon and Wieskamp.
Who
was a pro. They had the McCaffrey brothers. I don't know if any of the...
Patrick McCaffrey is still there.
Yeah, he's a long, lengthy guy. Not a shooter, though, like his brother Connor was.
And then the Murray brothers, Keegan. Wait, is the ones in the... Are both in the NBA? I think both are in the NBA.
Keegan was a lottery pick.
Yeah. One of them plays a lot of minutes, I think, starts for the Kings.
And we remember not too long ago, they had Luka Garza, was the Big Ten Player of the Year.
Yeah. They are they're just under 35% at 3-point percentage, 141st in the country. They're terrible defending the three. I don't know if it's luck generated. I just think they're not a good defensive team, as they allow teams 36% from three, 319th in the country. Allow teams to shoot 51% from two, 209th in the country. They don't rebound it well. They're 224th in offensive rebounding percentage and 252nd in defensive rebounding percentage. So K-State should be able to score against these guys. We know K-State has struggled offensively at times, but they should be able to score against Iowa. And I don't even know if Bart Torvik has the projection out. Bart Torvik is projecting Iowa by 5, 81-76, with K-State with a 69% chance to win. So
I'm probably going to pick Iowa to win, I'll be honest.
Yeah, and actually, you know, the spreads now, DY, they always mimic what the advanced analytics say, like Ken Palm, Bart Torvik, et cetera. Yeah, so like I saw the spread last night was Iowa by 4.5, and there you got it, the 5-point spread according to the advanced analytics in terms of projection. So,
well, Kim English says those analytics are bullshit.
I would there are definitely flaws with it.
I know. I just like that Providence.
No,
head coach Providence playing Boston College.
Yeah, I thought he laid it out like in a rational way. Like it wasn't like an anger driven speech, but he was just talking about like when you play in a league like the Big East, your analytics aren't going to look great because of the grind through the league, and then also like in the non-con, do you have to blow teams out by 40? I mean, is this going to hurt college basketball in the non-con? Like, are there going to be worse games scheduled because teams are going to try to game this unless a change is made?
Perhaps, although I don't think. I mean, Joe Lunardi laid it out, and, you know, in case you're a score fan, laid it out. I think that's kind of a fake fraudulent thing that just to sketch up bad teams and blow them out. I don't know that it wasn't going to change things so much that it looks drastically any different than this. You just have to play better in a lot of ways. A win's not just a win anymore. I get that, but you do have to play better. To the thought of it hurting the non-con, there's not going to be a whole lot of non-con left anyway. Like next year, the Big 12 is playing 20 conference games anyway.
I don't even know like how much the committee went off the net rankings. DY, we always hear it's a sorting tool, but I can't figure out what their criteria was because you saw teams with like quad one wins get at large bids.
Yeah, and then
but then
Boise State's in the first four. Didn't make sense.
And Boise State is 26 in the net. So how? Yeah. Like they
and then number 29. Indiana State got left out altogether.
Yeah, So Boise State's 26 in the net. They won six quad one games, and they're one of the last four in. But then Michigan State is a 9, FAU's an 8, and they have far worse resumes.
Like, I hate that they value the Mountain West so much more than the Big East, but the Boise State thing is the bizarre one.
Well, and then you got, like, St. John's is 32nd in the net, right? So they would probably, if you were just looking at net rankings, okay, if they're going off Indiana, that, they're going to be in.
Yeah, and Indiana State is the best team in the net never to be picked as an at-large team. And differently than FAU and Dayton, Indiana State at least won regular season.
Yeah. I know Nick, our producer, he says the Mountain West was good this year. And I watched a lot of Mountain West, and they had a lot of great games. I'm conflicted on it because I feel like they were fine. I also feel like at the same time they were they benefited from a lot of very dramatic close finishes on TV in their own exclusive window, and there became a perception that it was an elite league. Now,
I just don't think that they like. Well, I'll put it this way: the Big East should have got in more than three teams. Like, that's kind of silly. That's ridiculous, to be honest.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. Creighton, UConn and Marquette are not the only tournament caliber teams in the Big East.
Well, it's funny because it's UConn's the number one overall seed in the tournament. Marquette is a 2. Is that right? And then Creighton's a 3. So they're saying like, hey, we got three of the best teams in the country right here, but nobody else is even in.
The way Seton Hall played for most of the year, I feel like Seton Hall. Like, people are talking about St. John's, myself included, the most, probably because of the Patino effect, but Seton Hall probably had more case than St. John's.
Yeah. I really had a hard time following what the committee was trying to do this year. I mean, there's usually a couple cases where you're like, oh, they should have been. They were all over the place with this. I thought it was really poorly done. But anyways, and that's not sour grapes because K-State's in. I had already accepted the fate of Kansas State as of Friday.
Considering who didn't make it and who did, I mean, Kansas State, they had an outside case, but especially when all the bit stealers started to happen, it wasn't going to work.
I worked hard on that graphic on Wednesday night after they beat Texas to pull together all those top 25 net wins. And at that time,
well, do you think they get in if they would have beat Iowa State? I don't know. I think they would have had to make it to the championship. I think
if they would have beaten Iowa State and then there weren't the four or five bid thieves, DY, then I think they probably get the last four at end of date. But the way that it played out with all the bid stealers, NC State, Oregon, et cetera, you know, the A-10, yeah, the way that it played out.
Maybe, to be honest, they did the seed rankings 1 through 68 because they released that after the fact too. Who won the Missouri Valley? Drake was not a bid stealer because Indiana State did not make it. So actually Drake was not a bid stealer, but New Mexico was. New Mexico would not have made the NCAA tournament had they not won the entire Mountain West.
I thought that was interesting because I thought after New Mexico got to the league championship, I thought they were going to be in because they beat Boise and
Florida State.
They got 2 quad one wins in their conference tournament before the championship game. And so I'm like, oh, New Mexico's a lock now. And by the way, the committee put it as an 11. They wouldn't have made it if it was very, very strange. And I guess in a way it makes you feel like Saturday would have been just agonizing, DY, if Kansas State had beaten Iowa State. And then we're watching all of those bid stealers just like FAU then going down.
Yeah, like Oklahoma fans. I know they don't care about basketball very much, but.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, that's a wrap, I guess, on the basketball stuff. I don't know when. For those of you who might be wondering, the women's team, obviously, we're going to talk about them. I'm doing a show with Missy Heidrich, color analyst for K-State women's basketball. We're going to do a show this week to talk about their matchups, where they're seated, breakdown, etc. So don't think we're ignoring that. We're going to have plenty of content coming your way on the women's NCAA tournament, as Kansas State got a 4 seed and they avoided South Carolina's bracket, DY, which I guess I'll let you hit on just real quick, your thoughts on the women's field and Kansas State there. But I thought it was big that they still got to host as a 4 seed. Top 16 teams overall in the women's tournament get to host the first 2 games. And they also avoided the South Carolina regional and got put in Iowa's, and we know they can beat Iowa. We've seen it.
Here's the thing. I think it's great that you get to host. It's good to miss South Carolina. But at the same time, like, South Carolina's region is probably simpler than Kansas State's. Because Kansas State, not only do you have to go through Iowa, who's kind of figured it out again, you have to go through LSU, who's definitely figured it out again. You got to go through Colorado, who's definitely figured it out again, and UCLA. Like, that's a brutal bracket. I saw LSU and Colorado also in Las Vegas, actually. When Kent State played USC on opening night in Las Vegas, LSU-Colorado women's game was before us. Colorado won that game. They were both top 10 teams at the time, both playing like top 10 teams again on top of Iowa and K-State. So it's a brutal draw, to be quite honest.
Oh, the region is by far the toughest. Like, you heard Rebecca Lobo talking on ESPN last night. She thought that there were multiple teams in Kansas State's region that are she would have had in the Final Four winning it all. Like, UCLA could win it all. LSU obviously won it all last year. Colorado, you mentioned, they were top 10, top 15 for most of the entire season. They're great. So, and then Iowa is the one. Iowa's got to be upset that they got stuck with that region, plus the four-season region already beat them.
Yeah, and I've seen some, like, because I obviously used to cover Iowa, so I have some of those people still on my feed, and it's funny. They said if you look at that region, it's like 70% of the teams that have beaten Caitlin Clark in her career in that region.
Yeah. And shout out to Nick. Nick reminded me also, I forgot to plug Jasmine Halliburton's show on the KCSN feed for K-State as well. Go check out Jasmine's show. She's going to have another show this week talking about the women in the NCAA tournament as well. So we're going to have multiple shows. Check out Jasmine's. We'll have one with Missy as well on the KCSN feed. Check out both. Jasmine had on Jeff Mitty just the week prior on the show. Jeff Mitty's been on her show multiple times. She's had players on her shows, and she also brings tons of great content when it comes to Kansas State volleyball and many other sports as well. So go check out all the great work that Jasmine's doing. Again, that show will be right in the KCSN feed. So if you subscribe to 3MA, you will get all of Jasmine's shows to your feed as well. So go check that out and look for tons of women's content coming your way this week. We will also, I think for our Patreon page, patreon.com/3MA, I think we're going to do a bracket challenge with a prize. So if you're on there, go check that out. And we'll have some more women's coverage coming your way. And we're going to start to transition to football and do a lot of football content here very soon. And also recruiting and transfer portal for basketball. There's going to be a ton of great stuff we're going to be bringing your way on the feed over the ensuing months. So appreciate you all and appreciate our friends at Homefield Apparel, Holiday Distillery, and Manscaped as well. So go check out all of them and support them as they support us at 3MA. For Derek Young, I am Cole Manbeck, and John Kurtz, by the way, who signed off 15 minutes ago. Appreciate you guys all listening to another episode of 3MA.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all six of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.